Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And BroadwayInChicago.com and The Color Purple. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 126. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm like enjoying the hot weather in Chicago. The little hot weather glisten that I get between my breastises.
I get it between my butt cheeks.
There you go.
There's a little triangle in my lower back on all my shorts. It's kind of nasty.
Sounds nasty. My breastises are not nasty.
I have a friend who got those, who got that surgery to not make you sweat under your armpits.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They take out all the sweat glands or something?
No, they actually do like a nerve block or something like that, where they snip a cord or something. There's some sort of thing that goes through there. I was like, Joe, are you still going to be able to have babies? Whatever.
Yeah.
But note to anyone who's considering such surgeries, when you have this thing called sympathetic sweating in your body. So now his armpits don't sweat, but literally his ass drips water. And I mean, I'm not talking about like juicy booty or anything like that. It's his butt sweats so much that he's like, for the rest of his life, he's pretty much got to wear black pants. Can you imagine?
Are you kidding me?
No, because your body needs to sweat.
Yeah, your body does.
It needs to regulate.
Was he like a really hyper sweater? Is that why he had his underarms done?
I guess so, but he's just a little skinny boy. But I was like, oh my God, are you serious? He's like, yeah, girl, my butt sweat. I was like, that's nasty.
That is crazy.
Isn't it? So if anyone's considering doing that, just, you know, be warned, your ass is going to start dripping. I'm telling you.
Oh my God.
Right there. So I have had the theatrical week from the theatrical week.
I guess we don't really do theater reviews, but we definitely want to sit down with you about some of these Broadway and Chicago shows that are maybe coming to a city near you, since all these shows are on tour. And so, first of all, you saw what?
I saw two this week. So the first one that I saw was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Fantastic. Very funny classic, right?
So good. Well, it's based on I did not know this. I thought the musical was much older, but it isn't. It was just written in 2005.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was based on the 1988 movie, of course, with Steve Martin and Michael Caine.
Right.
That is based on a movie called Bedtime Story, which is from 1964, that had, what's her name, Shirley Jones?
Yes.
And Marlon Brando in it.
Yes.
So there's this whole continuum of performances, and actually the musical is sort of a hybrid of the two.
That's saying we have no new ideas anymore, is the truth incarnate.
Truly, everything old is new, and everything new is old.
Yeah.
So it was just a wonderful show, though. The production is so brilliant. And you know what? I get a theater hard-on when there's a rotating platform on stage.
Ah.
I just do. There's something about watching sets whiz by, and it's so funny because the actors actually comment on things. Like, when their set pieces are moving, what's her name? Hollis Resnick,
a Chicago. Yeah, Jeff Award winning actress for Chicago.
She's brilliant, but there's one scene where she's sort of hung over on a balcony, and the balcony starts moving to the right, and she goes, "Is this balcony moving?" And the guy that's with her, who they just had like a night with, he's like, "No, not at all." She's like, "Okay." It was so they're poking fun. They run around in the audience and do bits from the audience. They actually talk to the conductor. The guy was like, "I need some mood music," and then he like apprehensively flounces off the stage and talks to the conductor and is like, can you do some music? So they break the fourth wall all the time. So it was such a super fun show. That night was super special though, because I got to hang out with my mom.
Aww.
We went to Russian tea time for dinner. So we had a fancy Russian dinner. We walked around, walked to Buckingham Fountain. We did, well, they have this cool thing where it's $40 and you get everything. You get like a scoop full of everything.
Wow.
So you get tons
of
that.
You love like the sampler platter. That's why you love the Korean food.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. So we finished our bottle of wine, and as we were tippling, we wandered around over to Buckingham Fountain and then just went to the theater. Met up with Jerry Potter, managed to see him.
Yeah,
into him.
He was there. So he loved the show too, as did Cynthia, who works in our office.
Oh, Cynthia was there too. Yay.
Pays our checks and pays our bills. She loved it too. She was like, I didn't know it was a musical.
It wasn't up until a few years ago. But so much fun. Such great, I don't know, just great fun. If you even remotely enjoyed the movie, the musical is all about it. And if you've never seen the movie, you really have to go to the musical, because the big plot twist at the end, which we're not going to reveal here.
Yeah.
We're going to be good. We're not going to talk about that. So that was Tuesday night.
Yes.
And then Wednesday night, I went back to the theater again. Now, I have to tell you, me and Disney aren't such good friends.
No?
We haven't been good friends since Aladdin.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Like, you didn't find Nemo?
No.
Oh.
Beauty and the Beast didn't really do it for me. I've never saw the musical, though. I only saw the movie. I never saw the musical Beauty and the Beast, so it may be good. I don't know. But it just didn't, after Aladdin, everything just went down. Like, The Little Mermaid was my coming out story, basically. That was a good time. But after
look
that.
Look at this stuff. Yeah, isn't it neat?
Truly.
Oh, my God.
There, you don't get too far. Yeah, totally good. I know all the words. But after Aladdin, I kind of broke with the Disney. I didn't do it. And then sort of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen were vomiting and bringing this whole tween revolution into the new era. And Disney just began to expand upon all that. And they created this crazy thing called High School Musical.
Yeah. That was birthed out of the backs of like the Disney, Justin Timberlake, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears.
Just on
all these people have
Kids
turned
Incorporated
into,
and,
besides
yeah.
Justin, they've all kind of, well, and Christina, I guess, has kind of come out on the other
Truly.
Side.
Truly. So High School Musical was sort of thrown up by Mary-Kate and they put it together and it flushed the bowl and put it together. No, not really. It's actually a fairly good story.
It's a phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, I don't know anybody under the age of 10 or 14.
Who doesn't know about the tweens? They know all about it.
Well, it's insane. It's like this. I've actually never even heard anything from it.
I had seen part of the movie, just a little part of the movie. And I was like, this is perhaps the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So I had to turn it off. But then I heard good things about the musical, and then I heard that the soundtrack went quintuple platinum.
Yeah, because
that's
kids
4 million out. That's crazy, the buying power that the babies have, because they don't have money. You know, they got to make their parents buy that stuff.
Yeah.
So we went to see the show, and I went with my director, who I worked with on the Directors Festival. And we went and we both thought, okay, we need to go somewhere. So we went to Iberico. We had a pitcher of sangria and some tapas and we were ready to go. We got in there. There were knee biters everywhere. the larvae were squirming. Everyone was really well dressed and most of the kids were well behaved. But we look at the tickets and we're sitting in the front row and I'm like, oh my God, all these teenage high school boys are going to be on stage. I'm going to have the biggest hard on in the world because all these gorgeous, because I knew there was a lot of basketball in it. So I'm like, they're going to be bouncing around in shorts. But I have to tell you, the cast, I don't think they were very young. I think they were in their 20s and above.
No, they're not real teenagers.
No. Some of them might have been. Some of the people doing backflips, the little teeny tiny ones, but
I think most of them were in their 20s, though.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Somewhere over their 20s, but that's okay. But they were so phenomenal. I have to tell you, it was such a good show. I really, really enjoyed it. Now, it was super cheesy.
Yes.
It was very, very Disney, but I was so floored because a gay character actually came out on stage. And this guy, his name is Ryan in the show. He's actually very gay the entire show. And he's got a lot of gay stereotype, typical stuff. I don't care about that. I care about the fact that there is a gay character in the show. Yep. Now, he doesn't come out and start kissing on a boy or anything like that. But he's very gay. And I thought, this is wonderful because these little kids were laughing with all of his jokes. And they loved him. And in fact, when they came to do the curtain call, he got the biggest scream of everybody.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, yay, yay. The gays win. So that left me with a great taste in my mouth. So it's a fun show. If you have if you have little siblings or something, bring them to the show because I think it's totally worth it for them. You, it might be a little snoozy, but the two leads are just, they have such wonderful, wonderful, mature voices for being such young actors and actresses.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. So it was good. And the dancing, oh my God, these kids were sweating and backflipping. There's 34 people on stage.
It's insane,
it's
right?
Insane.
It's Disney. That's Disney though for you.
Oh,
big.
Just bigger than big, and sets going this way and that way, and basketballs dropping out of the scene. And there's this whole basketball scene that's all done in rhythm.
Oh.
So as the drummer's playing, they're hitting their basketballs in rhythm. I was like, they must have rehearsed this for like 8 months. I don't even know how they did it.
Yeah.
But so it was just a wonderful, lively production. And who was sitting three rows behind us but Michelle Obama and the babies?
Miss Obama.
Just a mirror. I swing around and I'm like, who is that tall woman? Oh!
It's Michelle Obama.
That's Michelle Obama.
She's very stunning, actually, in
she
person.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. And I think she was wearing a beautiful, beautiful Diane von Furstenberg. Mm-hmm. I can't tell because I meant to go on style.com today and look it up to
look
see if it was
you.
Hers. But I was like, that's gorgeous. She just was so stunning. And the two children were so well-behaved and so put together. So that was my theatrical week so far.
You have had a week. And you know what? It just continues to just really absolutely solidify what an amazing theater town we have become here in Chicago.
So
and we always have been with the theater that is very blue collar, mm-hmm. and even you know, the poor, you know, interesting
and
heart and plank and a passion, mm-hmm. type of theater, mm-hmm. but really now we have the full gamut of
everything,
of the really
high-powered,
really big
and
shows,
yeah,
you know, it's starting
budget.
To really move and shake. Downtown is alive, and at the same time we have festivals and theater, mm-hmm. festivals going on this summer, and a lot of shows going on the north side. It kind of quietens on the north side during July and August,
yeah.
and then picks back up with an explosion in September, yeah. as all the regional companies, mm-hmm. really start their seasons. So.
When it's cooler to sit in a 30-person theater and you don't have to pay a $300 air conditioning bill for two hours.
This is true.
You don't want to be cooped up in a little room. But I think what's so amazing is just the... It just seems like in the last 2 or 3 years, and I think most of this is Broadway in Chicago, how much is coming through Chicago,
yeah. Yeah.
and how many things are starting here. They're kicking off their tours here. Of course, The Color Purple,
yep.
kicked off the national tour. High School Musical, just
yep.
this was kicking off the national tour. It's just amazing to see that
big thing.
We've
been having the comedy, too, you know, with Jean Garofalo in town.
Judy
Margaret
Tenuta.
Cho's coming
Oh, my God,
to town.
I saw Judy Tenuta.
You saw Judy Tenuta, which you need to tell us about. How was she?
Oh, my God. So this was another one. Can you see?
I've had no life, so I'm totally living vicariously through you and everybody else who's listening.
It's fabulous. Can you see the pattern here? We went to Caesar's for margaritas before Judy Tenuta because we didn't know what we were going to get. She was just hysterically funny. Very, very gay show. She really did it right. This was a very gay show. She really talked to the gays. She really put everything out there.
Were the gays in the audience?
Oh, my God.
Full.
Honey, I think I'd slept with 3/4 of the audience, basically.
Oh, dear God.
And I was with my sister and her boyfriend. I was like, I can't be saying hi to every single guy here because I think you show me your, oh yeah, I slept with you.
Now you were at the early show or the late show?
We were at the early show.
Okay.
We were at the early show. So I think that, but because she was drinking a bottle of orange, oh my God, I have a drinking story about her. She was drinking a bottle of orange absolute orange,
uh-huh.
on stage. And I think it was real because she was a little lit by the end of it. So I'm sure the 9 o'clock show was like, she was all tippled to no end.
Oh no.
But super fun. Didn't get a lot of accordion, was a little sad about that, but she did some of her thing from Mountain Girl.
Yes.
The musical, hysterical. Did this Tina Turner impersonation where she flipped her hair around and put like a scrunchie around it, and I was like, oh my God, I'm looking at Tina Turner. She pulled her pants up and had the legs hanging out. I was like, holy shit, I didn't know Judy Tenuta could do like Tina Turner. It was crazy. That's how she closed the show. So super fun. There's actually a magician that opens up almost every show there.
Uh-huh.
He was phenomenal. He's this very 5'1" guy.
Uh-huh.
Did these awesome little magic tricks, and he was making fun of himself the whole time. So everyone was like, oh my God, a magician. This is totally turned out to be super fun.
It's really a great venue. I'm loving the Lakeshore Theater being alive and well, and congrats to Chris and all them. And Margaret Cho is going to be coming for six shows. So
had four bartenders.
Wow.
And you know how the queers like to drink. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a good time. Well, while you were just flitting hither and yon to
soaking
artistic nirvana, I was actually in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I haven't been there in a long time. You know, I lived there for a summer, a couple of months, many, many years ago. but I love D.C., and I was positioned quite squarely in the Fruit Loop DuPont circle.
On purpose? I guess you knew the area.
Well, so. That's where my friend lives, who's not gay, but loves that she lives amongst all the gay boys.
They keep the streets clean.
They do. DuPont Circle is very nice, and it's called the Fruit Loop, which I love. But, you know, and I was talking to my... I've walked really far. The Washington, D.C. Fringe Festival was going on, so I went to see some theater there, and, you know, they're really trying to get things going. Actually, it was funny. Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind.
Love them.
From Chicago was there. Performing.
No kidding.
And so did that and hung out with some college friends and just had a really great and relaxing time. But it's just amazing city to walk around. I walked around a lot and I walked around by myself after having dinner with people. And at one point, you know, friends of mine had gone back to their hotel and I was walking to the house where I was staying. It's a pretty long walk. And they called after a while going, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Girl, I have got like just cafe after cafe of gay men. And I feel like I am at Halsted, you know, I feel like I'm in the hood." So, yeah, but it's just an amazing city, Washington, D.C.
You know, people sometimes say like Tommy guns and gangsters in Chicago. That's what they say. I think hookers and politicians when I think of D.C. And that's horrible. I shouldn't think that way.
That's what's there.
But have you ever been to the Smithsonian? That's right around those parts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I didn't go this time. But, oh, yeah, I've been, I think... I've done a lot in D.C., but this trip was no, I actually haven't. I don't think I have done that. But, I really, it's just the most amazing city, and it's so beautiful, and so I had a really great time. I recommend it as a trip.
Did you see the White House?
I did not. Not this trip.
No.
No, but I actually was more in the neighborhoods. I went out to Virginia for a while.
Ooh.
Yeah, and saw the CIA.
Agent Starling.
There you go. Clarice. They were lambs. They were screaming.
Was your daddy a coal miner?
They were lambs. They were screaming. Dr. Lecter. But it was a great, great trip. So that's why I missed the extravaganza because I just got back in town.
That's okay. There'll be more coming up soon.
There is. But, you know, speaking of D.C. and a lot of what has been going on politically and for our community, it continues to be a story where we as gay and lesbian people are constantly put in the spotlight, constantly put in the news. You know, obviously when the year that Clinton was, the first Clinton, was was elected, the presidential campaign for him, you know, was strongly about the wedge issue, was gays in the military. Mm-hmm. It continues to be an issue, and it sounds like, obviously, his wife now, Hillary Clinton, is going to be asked about this as well. You know, it's really interesting because next week, Logo Television is going to be airing a big presidential Democratic candidate
this
debate.
The whole YouTube debate stuff that they were talking about.
It's a California debate that's going to be on Logo. And I guarantee you it will definitely have many questions that are gay and lesbian in nature. Mm-hmm. So tonight we are going to be talking with a former Navy captain, a woman who served for almost 30 years in the military. Wow. And because there's an event going on here in Chicago that we want to promote, but also just to raise awareness of how many GLBT service members are really starting to come out, really starting to lend their voice to this in a very, very strong, dynamic way. But there is going to be a reception here in Chicago this Friday, tomorrow. So anyhow, we're going to be speaking with her about some of the realities. We're just going to kind of do the basics of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and what the people are trying to do, what organizations are working together to really mobilize and just wipe this out on our side. Like, get this thing.
Yeah, get it taken care of and then move on to a different issue because we need to get that out.
Yeah, and we're going to look ahead in the next podcast with toward market days, sitting down with our friend Sean Wiggins. So, but this show, we're going to be talking about gays in the military and we're going to be having news stories, some really exciting and interesting news stories and much, much more after this.
You love the book. You love the movie. Now the story you love comes to Chicago at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Oprah Winfrey presents The Color Purple. Unforgettable characters, a triumphant story, and music that's simply amazing. It's truly the must-see musical event of the year. Now playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Tickets still available. Call Ticketmaster. Log on to colorpurple.com. Oprah Winfrey presents The Color Purple. Sponsored by Ariel Mutual Funds.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
And for the week of July 31st, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Northwestern University presents three new musical theater events at its Summer Music Theater Festival. The festival's featured musical, In the Bubble, directed by Michael Greif, director of Rent on Broadway, playing July 27th through August 12th. Don't miss this funny and touching coming-of-age story that captures the pull between safety and growth and the risks that accompany change. Tickets start at $25. Call 847-491-7282 or visit tic.northwestern.edu.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com. And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A couple of important LGBT-related bills will now be considered by the U.S. Congress in the fall. A hate crimes bill regarding sexual orientation and gender identity will remain stalled in the Senate until at least September, while the House is expected to debate the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, the same month.
In Wisconsin, a murder trial has begun for Eric Hainstock, a teen who killed John Klang, his high school principal, for reportedly failing to stop the student from being the subject of anti-gay bullying. While the district attorney has painted Hainstock as a liar, defense lawyers have stated that teachers ignored the bullying that the teen allegedly suffered.
In Palm Springs, California, an elderly man was beaten in what authorities are calling a reverse hate crime. The 68-year-old victim was allegedly beaten by two men after he declined their offer to go home with him. Police are saying that the beating occurred because the victim was not gay.
In North Carolina, a Fort Bragg soldier who was allegedly on a gay porn website with a military theme will be discharged. Last year, seven soldiers from Fort Bragg's 82nd Airborne Division were discharged after they were on the same site.
Fox News personality Bill O'Reilly has apologized for a recent news segment that focused on a supposed outbreak of violent lesbian gangs. We've told part of this story before. O'Reilly said that people at his show, quote, overstated the extent of gay gangs in the Washington area, and he added that Fox crime analyst Rod Wheeler, who narrated the segment, has also apologized.
In Indiana, Special Judge David Hanselman Sr. has allowed St. Peter's First United Church of Christ to leave the denomination over the subject of same-sex marriage. A restraining order has been instituted in 2005 that prevented the church from leaving the UCC, but the judge dissolved it. In July of 2005, the UCC's 25th Synod passed a resolution supporting marriage rights for gay and lesbian couples.
The Michigan Supreme Court has ruled that 17 taxpayers who challenged the Ann Arbor School District's same-sex benefits policy cannot proceed with their case. A majority said that the taxpayers did enough to challenge, but still did not have the right to sue.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the final book in the series, sold approximately 8.3 million copies in its first 24 hours of release in the U.S. last week. Also, actor Daniel Radcliffe, who portrays Potter in the film series, recently turned 18. So now, guys, he has access to a $40 million fortune.
He's mine, hands off. Mm-hmm. On New York City radio station Hot 97, Chicago rapper Kanye West recently responded to insinuations that he's gay. Earlier this year, hip-hop artist Beanie Siegel commented on West's fashion sense and urged him to, quote, come out of the closet. West reported that he is not gay, but then talked about the anti-gay atmosphere in the rap world. Interestingly, another rapper, 50 Cent, is profiled in the August issue of Blender magazine, and one of the items he talks about is his late bisexual mother.
And, my favorite news story, lesbian Tony-winning actress and my personal idol. Cherry Jones is going to play the President of the United States on the next season of TV's 24. Yes, Jones' term as President Alison Taylor will take place at the same time as Senator Hillary Clinton's presidential bid, but Fox executives have said that there will be no mingling of fact and fiction.
Sure, because...
it's a woman in the White House somewhere.
Right. Yeah, Fox is always good for their word. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Like a song is her best friend.
Hi, this is Linda Etter, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Here's the rainbow's end.
Many high-ranking, openly gay, retired and former U.S. military officers continue to speak out loudly to further public awareness that the U.S. military's don't ask, don't tell policy is not working. Joining us today is Navy Captain Joan Dara, who served in the Office of Director of Naval Intelligence and is a member of the SLDN Advisory Board. Her decorations include the Legion of Merit, 3 awards, Meritorious Service Medal, 3 awards, the Navy Commendation Medal, 3 awards. It's a trilogy here. And the Navy Achievement Medal. And we're just really proud and honored to have you on with us. Captain Dara, how are you?
Welcome.
I'm great, thank you. And I appreciate your taking the time to try and get this story out.
Well, we appreciate so many service members now kind of coming to the front lines of this issue. Let's just start at the very beginning, because we have never had anybody on our podcast really talk about the issue of gays in the military, the history of it, and where this issue stands now and the policy stands now. So what exactly does the don't ask, don't tell policy state for somebody gay in the military?
Well, basically, it states that if you are found out to be gay, you will be thrown out of the service. You can be a stellar performer, and if somehow someone finds out that you're gay, and some people think, well, that I for example, I happen to be gay, that I would have to say to my commanding officer that I'm gay. But it's not true. Actually, it could be a friend. It could be somebody that... a subordinate that for some reason has figured out that you're gay. There are instances where somehow commands have gotten people's emails. So it's not as simple as that if you, the member, don't tell, then you're free to continue to serve.
Now, the history of this policy is that it came in with the Clinton administration. It was one of the first things that happened when Bill Clinton took office in his first term. What do you think was the indication at that time that this was going to allow kind of a witch hunt atmosphere, or what do you see as kind of the beginning, the origin of this policy? And where it went wrong?
Well, in truth, it's pretty much always been basically illegal to be gay in the military. What happened when Clinton came in, I think he very well intended, thought that he would be able to come in, sign an executive order, and make it okay for gay people to serve openly. He ran into tremendous opposition, and Colin Powell in particular apparently was adamant that was not going to happen. So they came up with what was called a compromise, commonly referred to as don't ask, don't tell. It's actually part of the U.S. code. And basically it says, and the problem now is that it's a law. Before that it was not a law. Mm-hmm. For example, Clinton said, I'll just sign an executive order and get rid of it. Well, now it's a law, so it can either be undone in the courts or Congress. The president, for example, a new president could not come in 2008, for example, if we elect someone new and say, well, I'm going to get rid of this with an executive order.
So how did people feel, though, about Colin Powell, and obviously a black man who had obviously had his own prejudices, I'm sure, rising in the ranks, coming out so much in opposition early on and not really getting on the train for, you know, in any active way, even after there were problems that were obvious with the policy or the law.
I can only, of course, speak for myself. I personally am somewhat appalled at that since clearly for both blacks and for women, the military was more ahead of society and allowed blacks to have opportunities within the military that they didn't have in society, and frankly allowed women to have many opportunities that the larger society was not giving them similar opportunities. So my feeling is for, in this case, Colin Powell, a black man, to, you know, a minority himself, to be so adamant that another minority should not be given some benefits is personally, I had great respect for Colin Powell when I was on active duty, but when I heard this, I find it now hard to respect him.
Well, Captain Darrett, you've been serving in the military for quite some time and been so decorated throughout the military. Take us to the time before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Was it still a witch hunt atmosphere? Were people still being driven out or found out? Or what was that like before then? Did the law make much of a difference when it went into it went on the books?
The law made a difference. One of the things the law did is it said then you wouldn't be allowed to be asked when you joined the military if you were gay or not. So I apparently was asked. I joined in 1973, and I looked at my enlistment medical report, and then at the bottom of it, it says that I had no homosexual tendencies. Well, when I first joined the Navy back in 72, 73, I didn't have a clue that I was gay. I have no idea what doctor asked me that allowed him to write down that I had no homosexual tendencies. But I know for me, in a time frame of 1993, it was a very uncomfortable time in that everybody all of a sudden was talking about gays in the military. And of course, I was a gay person in the military, and it was very uncomfortable that there was so much attention being given to this issue. And I'm sure that that's probably true today for gay people that are in the military. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is in the news, and there's a lot of momentum and energy and I think interest in the policy, and hopefully the outcome of all that will be that we actually get rid of this law. But meanwhile, a little part of me feels badly for the people that are currently on active duty that are gay, because I'm sure that there's perhaps a little more attention being given to the issue than they would prefer.
How did it complicate your military life once the talking about it started, your sexuality?
Well, I think you became more aware of it. I mean, I was at that point, you know, early 40s, relatively attractive, relatively successful, and, you know, never really appeared with a dated events or whatever. So I think there was certainly some concern. And most of us came up with, like, I would do things with my partner, and it would always be, we're doing something, or a group of us are doing something. So you'd sort of add some vagueness to your remarks. Mm-hmm. And I think what people don't realize, particularly straight people don't realize, this is the equivalent of if a straight person said accidentally, you know, after on Monday morning, my wife and I did whatever on Saturday, you would be fired. If a gay person said, you know, my partner and I did whatever, you'd be fired.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, the stress of that, and you don't realize it, frankly, I think, until you're out from under it. I've been retired now for over 5 years. When you're living it, you do what you have to do. But after you get out from under something like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you look back and realize what an amazing stress and what an extra pressure you're under. Trying to, you know, pretend to be something that you really aren't.
I remember I've been doing radio for 10 years and interviewing GLBT people, and I remember interviewing Colonel Margareta Kammermeyer, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, for a woman and for someone who was so high ranked, and her story, you know, I think I don't know if I interviewed her when the book came out or the television movie was coming out, somewhere around there. How was it for you being a high ranking woman and kind of seeing your own story possibly played out?
Well, it was very repetitive. I just talked to Greta the other day and sent her an email saying exactly that her story came out when I was still on active duty, and I read her story, and it really encouraged me to continue on Mm-hmm. I knew other gay people, but seeing somebody else, you know, outside of my immediate circle and realizing that she'd gone through the same thing gave me sort of the courage or motivation to keep on going. And in her book, she's careful that she says that if, you know, she was not encouraging other people to out themselves.
Right.
Since she realized really what would happen is they would just be fired. And in fact, she still is an inspiration for me. And yeah. Since I've been retired, I've as much time and energy as I could find, I've been putting toward fighting this fight. Because this is, of course, a perfect catch-22. Nobody that's on active duty can really fight this fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if they do, then they're out. So this is something that retirees and veterans, both gay and straight, really need to be fighting this fight.
She was such an amazing woman. So it's wonderful that she can provide that inspiration and kind of that light post for you. When did you decide to come out publicly? What was that decision like?
I didn't
finally?
Until I retired. In fact, I first encountered SLDN several months before I retired. I was working on my retirement speech. My partner, Lynn Kennedy, and I, at that point, had been together about 12 years. And I called SLDN, and I said, well, as part of my retirement speech, and it was a big, you know, I had like several hundred people came and whatever, I said, could I thank my partner, Lynn? And they surely understood why I would want to, but they said that they really strongly advised me not to.
Yeah. Get all the way out the door, right?
Yeah, get completely out the door and sign on the, you know, bottom line, and then it's okay. The consensus is that once you're retired, that the military or the government is not going to come after your retirement pay or benefits.
Right.
And that's why many of us are out and being as active and visible as we can. And interestingly, since I have outed myself now to, you know, several admirals that I worked for, several coworkers, and to a person, they're, some are a little surprised, but everybody says it doesn't make a difference. We've had two admirals over to our house and their wives for dinner with my partner and I, and we've had just a wonderful evening. It's been kind of refreshing to see how they, who have probably never known a gay couple before,
yeah.
Next thing you know, they're having dinner at our home, and it's just as normal as anything.
That's how change happens.
And thank you for that. That's awesome for everybody out there. Can you tell us a little bit about SLDN, the organization? Because you said you knew to call them. So how did you know to call them?
Well, Service Members Legal Defense Network was established right after the Clinton administration and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it was originally set up to help service members who got tangled up in Don't Ask, Don't Tell by providing them with free legal services, which is invaluable. And they try to, if somebody's being thrown out, they try to at least salvage an honorable discharge and try to ensure that the service member has somebody to turn to, because it's difficult. And they also will field questions, from anybody in the military, but people in the military that haven't, are gay, and they want to say, you know, what are my options or whatever, because you really can't talk to anybody. You can't really talk to the chaplain. You can't talk to the medical people. I mean, you can individually, and some chaplains or doctors are willing to, you know, keep something in confidence. But legally, they are not obligated to not tell the rest of the chain of command that you've just outed yourself to them. So SLDN provides a safe haven for people to come to and to talk to. And then, I say, they then help or completely cover the legal costs that are involved for many people as they're trying to either hang on to benefits or get a discharge that's an honorable discharge. And now, of course, they are pushing to actually get Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed. And they were the lead in introducing a House bill, H.R. 1246, which calls for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and replacing it with a policy of discrimination.
Now, do you think this will be a big issue in the upcoming election?
I sure hope so. It's certainly been a topic of all the debates, and there is a Logos doing a debate, I guess, next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to seeing that. But yes, and I'm pleased that this is a topic of conversation because at this point we need more people to understand. I think a lot of people thought Don't Ask, Don't Tell fixed everything. I mean, I've even talked to people that I have encountered We were out at the Unitarian Church annual meeting in Portland a couple of weeks ago, and people are very supportive of gays in the military and whatever, and they say, well, I thought Don't Ask, Don't Tell fixed everything. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it changed some things, but the bottom line is still the same.
Well, and it's interesting because this spring, what happened right here in our backyard at the Chicago Tribune when General Peter Pace, you know, spoke out and people hear the blatant bigotry and said that gays should not serve in the military because they were immoral. Did that, you think, really set fire to this conversation rising again? And because a lot of, I think it was like seven or more high-ranking officers came out like right after he said that.
But I was one of the seven, and they did a full, like a five-page article and a full photo in our mess press of seven. I'm a Navy captain, is the same as an Army colonel. Seven captains and colonels, and in direct reaction to General Pace. Yes, I think General Pace, I'm sure that wasn't his intention, but he really helped to focus a lot of people, put a lot of focus on this issue. From people that you might not have previously expected to speak out.
Now, Captain, I'd like to ask because, you know, there are definitely people in our community and probably many of our listeners who don't understand why a gay or lesbian person would want to serve in the military. You know, what is it about military life, Navy life, that you loved, that was your passion? And if you could just give us a few of the highlights of your career. I mean, I can read your bio, but as a lay person, you know, I'd just love to hear from you. You know, what were some of the things that, you know, were the highlights of your career and what you did?
For the reason that people join the military, I mean, and it's not the answer for everybody. I signed up, I was going to be an English teacher. I went from protesting the Vietnam War to going one day after sailing, going down to the recruiter. And I decided that it would be a good way to maybe, you know, learn, get away from my small town, see the world, get some training, whatever. I signed up for 3 years, and I ended up staying almost 30. The responsibility that I got, and back then, this was the early 70s, the opportunities for women were pretty limited. But in the military, I mean, I was in charge of, 15 people, and I'd been in the military less than 6 months. And I might add, most of these people were, I was a junior officer, but most of these people were enlisted and senior enlisted who had been in the Navy much longer than I, but I was put in a leadership position. And I loved the Navy, and I loved the challenge that I was given and the responsibility that I was given. In fact, I'm very careful to point out, if I didn't love the Navy and I didn't love this country, I wouldn't be fighting this fight.
Right.
But I really, I mean, I know we can do better than this. I know our country can. And the Navy, I mean, I watched so many young kids that had no idea what they wanted to be when they grow up, come right out of high school, into the Navy for 3 or 4 years, learn some skills, learn some leadership, get some self-confidence, get some direction, and then go back into society with a real good feel of what they wanted to do. And to deny that to a person because they're gay, to me, is wrong.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, if somebody came to me and said, you know, all of these things, and I'm motivated, and I want to join the Navy, and I think it would be great. It saddens me, but I would discourage them from joining if they were gay.
Really?
Because I didn't know when I joined, knowing what I know now, if somebody who knew they were gay asked me if they should join the Navy, I would have to tell them no.
Wow.
Does repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell change that?
You betcha.
Yeah.
You betcha. You betcha. I mean, and there's, I mean, 24 countries allow gays to serve openly. We are serving side by side with gay people in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, because to say 24 countries have said, hey, it's no big deal. We want the most qualified, the most motivated people. And all military people, what you really care is that your shipmates doing their job. You don't care if it's a gal. You don't care if it's a black guy. You don't really care if it's a gay person. It doesn't matter. And that's what's so wonderful about the military. We just want your shipmates to do their job and cover your back.
Well, it's amazing and amazing that there are going to be so many decorated and well-spoken and passionate and seasoned veterans with us in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that this is something that will continue. So if you don't live in the Chicago area, you can definitely find out information at sldn.org. But if you do live in Chicago, tomorrow night, Friday, August 3rd at 7 o'clock on the Roof Garden, which is entirely lovely, at the beautiful brand new center on Halsted, here at Halsted and Waveland, you can come out. Tickets are $40. 100% of the proceeds will benefit SLDN, the Service Members Legal Defense Network. And there is more information on that particular event at chicagosldn.org for tickets. You know, and get involved, folks, because it is really going to be a big topic for us. And I'm always amazed when you hear all these other countries that have gays, even countries that we would think, wow, they're just not as far along as we are in many areas. And yet they have gay and lesbian men and women serving alongside straight men and women. Mm-hmm. So really no difference. Captain Dara, thank you so much for being on with us.
Well, thank you both so much. And let's say we need everybody's support, and we just need to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and get ourselves into the 21st century. And I thank you both so much and for your help in encouraging people to come out tomorrow night.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.